Okay, so the first reading is Exodus 19, and it's verses 1 to 9, which can be found on page 76 of the Church Bibles. On the first day of the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on that very day they came to the desert of Sinai. After they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on angels' wings, eagles' wings, and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." These are the words you were to speak to the Israelites. So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. The people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, "I'm going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you." Then Moses told the Lord what the people had said. And the second reading is 1 Peter 2. I just lost it. And it's 1 Peter 1, and it's chapter 2, verse 4 to 10, which is on page 1218 of the Church Bible. "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame.' Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." This is the word of God.
Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. And we read last week, all people are like grass, their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And so we pray we'd be building our lives on your word revealed to us, the good news of Jesus. And help us to live that out as your people, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. So, we're going to start with some stories. Okay, this is the story of me and church. And it's actually the same story, but four different people. Okay, so bear with me and you'll get the hang of this. These are stereotypes, but there's perhaps some truth in them as we go along as well. So, the story of me and church. My name is Betsy, and I really like church. In fact, I love church. It keeps me anchored in my faith. I love the community. I always come when I'm free. But goodness me, life is busy. Work is full on. Family life is full on.
And Sundays come around, and oh my goodness, things just keep coming up. Get to the weekend, and if there's not something going on, I am feeling knackered. The kids are tired as well, especially when it comes to 4 p.m. Small groups. Now, I have to say that the minister has kind of encouraged us to get involved in small groups or, you know, get involved in helping on a Sunday with things. And, you know, I want to, but I don't think so. I don't want to let people down. So because I can't guarantee that I could be there, I figure it's better just not really to commit to those things at all. Don't get me wrong, I'd love to be more involved, but it's just not realistic with everything else going on at the moment. So that's the story of me and church. My name is Simone. And now listen, I have got nothing against church. But to be honest, I find that I connect with God better in other ways. I'm quite spiritual, I'd say, as a person. I love going for walks. I really find that I experience God in the outdoors and as the kind of great creator. I love to meditate as well. That really kind of feels like that kind of connects me. Now, of course, obviously, Jesus is very important to me. But at the end of the day, it's a personal relationship. If other people connect with him by going to church, that's great. But it just doesn't really do it for me. Don't get me wrong, I'm a big admirer of church. Okay, I go along from time to time, especially when, you know, I like the person who's speaking. So, that's the story of me and church. My name's David. Church, oh yeah, I am there every week. Every week. Why do I go? Just because I do. That's what I do. Okay, I go to church. I always have. I know the minister. He's a great guy. I wouldn't want to let him down. I wouldn't want to let God down either. So I just go along. This is what I do. I'm a committed kind of person. When I'm in, I'm fully in. And so that's the story of me in church. My name's William. Now listen, you've asked me what I think about church. I'm happy to share. But I have to say, my story is not a particularly happy one. It's actually quite painful. Now listen, I am all for Jesus. He is wonderful. But my experience has been that church has not really felt very much like him at times. In fact, in my experience, a lot of the time. I'm not going to go into the details, but let's just say that my experience of church has been sufficiently painful that I am very wary of getting involved again. So that's the story of me and church. How about you? How would you sum up the story of you and church? It's going to be different for everyone. Some of us it will be a short story, last few years, maybe just last few months even. Some of us it will be a much longer story. Some of us it's basically a pretty positive story. Some of us it's sadly a pretty negative story. Okay, for some of us it's quite simple. Others it's actually pretty complicated. Now, Peter, we've been looking at this wonderful letter. Peter, he's one of the original disciples of Jesus. It's a bit later on in his life now. He's writing this letter to a group of churches. They're scattered around what is like modern-day Turkey, ancient Asia Minor. And he tells them, in the little section that we're looking at today, he tells them actually a different story. Not the story of me and church. He's telling them and us the story of Jesus and church. It's as if he says, look, Betsy, Simone, David, William, I understand the stories that we all have, our own experiences, but just for a moment, let's just lift our eyes up from our own experiences, our own stories, and let's have a look at this story. the story that Jesus is writing, his plan, the big picture. Because I think you'll find that when you understand his story, then it will fundamentally shape your story. Okay, your whole approach, experience to church will be shaped when we understand this glorious story of Jesus and his church. That's what we're looking at in these verses. And can you see how it starts? Verse 4. As you come to him, that's Jesus, this living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. You also, like living stones, are being built up. Peter says, look, if you want to know what church is all about, if you want to know Jesus' plan for church, the story of Jesus and church, let's use a picture. Think of a building. Okay, not any old building, a great, huge, great temple. Think of that. Keep that in your mind. And we'll work with this picture. We'll see if we can understand my plan for church. And it begins, this story of Jesus and church, with a precious cornerstone. You see that in our passage. Verse 6. See, I lay in Zion a chosen and precious cornerstone. Or in verse 4, you come to him, the living stone. It's a picture that comes from the Old Testament. So actually, Peter's quoting something from the prophecy of Isaiah here. And Isaiah, written hundreds of years before Jesus was around or before Peter was writing. And at the time that Isaiah is writing, life in Israel is a total mess. Okay, he's writing about complete failure of leadership. The political leaders, the spiritual leaders, they are corrupt, they are ungodly, they are not providing anything like the foundation that they should do. And as a result, Israel is a place of darkness. It is a mess. And into that, we get this verse. Okay, God says, look, I'm not going to leave it like this. I'm going to step into that mess. Here's what I'm going to do. And you see what he says in verse 6. This isn't Isaiah's day. He says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. In other words, I'm going to reach into this total mess that you have created, where there's no stability, no foundation for people to put their feet on. I am going to provide a steady foundation. I'm going to clear it all up. And it starts with me laying this cornerstone. And Peter says, as he writes to Christians across Asia Minor, he says, guys, the cornerstone's arrived. He has now, what Isaiah was looking forward to, God has now done. It's Jesus. And what a cornerstone he is. Do you see verse 4? He's chosen by God. This was always God's plan. He always knew that into the mess that is our world, he would have to give us a cornerstone. And so in his love and his mercy, he gave us exactly what we needed. Chosen. Precious. And so do you remember when Jesus first appeared and he was baptized and God said, I love these words, this is my son who I love. With him, I am delighted. He was precious to God, his precious son. His heart throbbed with love for him from all eternity. And he said, and yet, it's the only way. So I will give him to be this precious cornerstone. He's chosen, he's precious, but he was rejected. It's the tragedy of Jesus' life. Do you see there in verse 4, you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans. And Peter picks up another quote from Psalm 118 in verse 7. To those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And Jesus quotes this verse in his own ministry in the context of him going to the cross. He says, look, it's happening. God, all this time, his precious cornerstone, he gives into the world. And what do? We reject him. And yet, chosen, precious, rejected, vindicated. Although rejected by humans, dead on a cross, through that, the glory of God, he uses our rejection to be the very means by which we are saved, as Jesus bears our sins himself, and then 3 days later, rises from the dead. And that's the point at which we think, the stone the builders rejected, goodness me, he really is now the cornerstone, because he is the living stone, alive and reigning. Okay, the salvation plan fully accomplished now through Jesus. Okay, and all of that makes Jesus God's cornerstone, lovingly sent into our world. But anyone who knows anything about building, which, by the way, is not me. This is about the extent of my building knowledge. But a cornerstone, right, is the first of many stones. I know that much. A cornerstone is not meant to just be laid and left. Okay, it's intended to be built upon. It's the stone that sets the foundation and the shape for the whole building. And God has given us Jesus that we might come to him and make him our cornerstone, that we might stand on him. And can you see the amazing promise right there in verse 6? For in scripture it says, I lay in Zion a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Oh, wow, what a precious promise. You think of those people back in Israel, all their leaders had turned out to be corrupt. They were, as a nation, they were experiencing shame on a huge scale. When we think of our own lives and experience, okay, many of us have had the same. Our experience of life has been difficult. Many times we think, I have felt ashamed. I've felt put to shame. And actually, ultimately, the Bible says all of us have a corrupt heart that turns away from God and face the ultimate of judgment of God, where we will be put to shame unless we can stand on the cornerstone. Because in mercy, God gives us Jesus so that we can be totally forgiven. All of our sins completely wiped away, so we need never be put to shame. Wow, what a cornerstone. We've been seeing in 1 Peter how when we trust in Jesus, we're born again into this imperishable family with an imperishable future. We're forgiven, we're adopted, we're secure. That's the first step of understanding Jesus and church. It starts with the cornerstone, precious cornerstone. But when you come to this cornerstone and trust him, the most amazing thing happens. You see, verse 4 and 5. Let's just have a look at it again. As you come to him, the living stone rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Okay, when you come to the living stone, you become a living stone as well. And you get built up. Okay, these living stones being built together on the cornerstone. And do you see the big idea here? If we think that Jesus came into our world to kind of just take us as an isolated person and give us a kind of free pass to heaven sometime in the future, we have hugely misunderstood the scope of what he came to do. Okay, he didn't come just to kind of save isolated people. He came to build for himself a whole new community of people. The cornerstone, with stone after 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 stone built together on him. Okay, his plan was to bring people to Jesus and in so doing, bring them together One stone at a time, every stone supporting each other. Okay, it's not just about you and Jesus. It's about Jesus bringing you into a whole new people built together on the cornerstone. Isn't that wonderful? Okay, this is a vision that blows our Western individualism to smithereens. This is what we do, don't we? We just think it's all about me and my desires and my needs being met. And, you know, I catch myself doing this so often. It's just the air that we breathe. And yet God's vision for us in rescuing us to himself is to bring us into community together. It's a vision of interdependence, of distinctive stones with distinctive functions being brought together to make something that no single stone could ever do on its own. So that your potential transcends what it could ever do unless you are connected in to this new family, this new building on this solid cornerstone. And the one who holds it all together, we've already seen, is the cornerstone. What is it that holds such a randomly disparate group of people that is a local church together? I mean, what is it that stops us from kind of descending into quarrels and fighting and all the other things that we see in other parts? It's the fact that we're on the cornerstone. Okay, we can be so different, can't we? We can struggle to get on with each other. Temperamentally, we can think, well, that person is literally nothing like me. And yet, we're standing on the same cornerstone. And so we're united together. It's this beautiful vision of unity with diversity. And we don't see it anywhere else. And Jesus, this cornerstone, does exactly what a cornerstone is meant to do. He sets the shape for the whole building. I love these words. You see them in verse 5. You also. He was chosen. You also have been chosen. He was precious. You also are precious. He was rejected. You also will be rejected. He was vindicated. You also will be vindicated. This inheritance can never perish, spoil, or fade. Verse 5, you also, like living stones, are being built into this spiritual house. So friends, listen, if you have come to Jesus, this is who you are. You're one of these living stones. Okay, if you've come to Jesus, Jesus has brought you together with other living stones. And friends, if you haven't come to Jesus, you're welcome. Okay, there is nothing to stop you. It's a free invitation of grace. It's not like I'm going to just see how good a stone you are. I'm going to measure you up, just check you're good enough or moral enough or have had the right kind of background. And no, he will take any stone that's willing to come to him and he'll say, I'm going to give you an honoured place in this building. Because it's by grace. We just have to come to him. You're welcome. And where do we actually see this? Well, I hope you've figured it out by now. This is church, okay? This is what it's meant to be. It happens on the grand scale in the universal church. All Christians of all times and places. This vast building that sprawls 2 millennia and every continent. And you are connected in a very real way with believers throughout that time and across that space. Amazing to think. And yet, the universal church is meant to be expressed locally so that we can visualize it and see it in a local fellowship in a particular place with real relationships between actual people. Us, in other words. Standing together on our cornerstone, Jesus, never moving from him, because we know if we move from him, we don't have a hope of sticking together. But as long as we're on our cornerstone, we are safe and secure. We'll never be put to shame on him. Step 1, precious cornerstone. Step 2, living stones. Step 3, a magnificent temple. Okay, this is the final step in the picture, because these stones are built with a particular building in mind. You see verse 5. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Okay, so this spiritual house is, and I appreciate, by the way, if you're not used to the Bible, this feels very alien, this language. It helps us to realize that Peter's basically referencing the Old Testament here. Okay, so in the Old Testament, there was a temple that was right at the heart of the Old Testament people's life and worship. It was in Jerusalem. And this temple had priests, okay, hence the reference to priests here. It had sacrifices as well. And it was very, very familiar to the people that Peter was writing to. And so when he talks about this spiritual house, he's saying, look, you are being built into the spiritual equivalent of the temple. So just run with me in this. See if you can keep with me, okay? The Old Testament temple, that's where God dwelt with his people. He said, look, I love you, you're my people. I'm going to come and meet with you in a very special and particular way in the temple. I'm going to dwell with you there. Okay, but what we see here is that was only a picture looking ahead to the ultimate temple that would be built of living stones, us. And God says, I'm going to dwell with you by my Holy Spirit. I'm going to dwell in your heart and in the life of your local fellowship as you meet together as these living stones. Okay, the Old Testament temple wasn't just where God dwelt with his people, it was also where people could get to know God. That was the position of priests. Their job was to teach people about God, among other things. But that too was just a picture looking ahead to the ultimate temple of living stones. And now God makes himself known through his people gathered together in a local church. Okay, we are, as it says here, a holy priesthood. It's not like a specialist bunch of people who now have the job of making Jesus' name, but all of us together, signposting people to Jesus, God's representatives in the world, working together to do that. Okay, the Old Testament temple was also the place where sacrifices were offered. Okay, and many of them thank offerings, just saying, thank you, God, for all that you've done for us. And that, again, was looking forward to the days when God would build his spiritual temple on this earth. And now the sacrifices are spiritual sacrifices. That's what it says in verse 5. Acceptable to God through Jesus, who at the cross has already made the ultimate sacrifice for us. What are these spiritual sacrifices? Well, their lives lived for the glory of Jesus. So we show people how wonderful he is. Lives of faith and love and hope. Lives offering sacrificial service to one another. Lives where we love each other deeply from the heart. That's what we were thinking about last week. Lives of holiness that sparkle with thankfulness to God and a growing likeness to Jesus. Okay, lives of public witness as we declare God's name to the nations. Look at how he sums it up in verses 9 to 10. I love this. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you might declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Okay, this magnificent temple that God builds his people into is brimming with purpose. Okay, we have the purpose of displaying and declaring God's praises in this world. Well, the Old Testament temple was pretty amazing. I mean, by the time Herod remade it in the kind of 3rd or 4th century BC, in the 2nd century BC, it was one of the wonders of the ancient world. It was an amazing building. But it's nothing compared to this temple of living stones built together on the cornerstone. Okay, this spiritual temple is the only lasting reality of this world. Everything else will eventually fade. But this spiritual temple will shine on ever more brightly into eternity. And friends, to coin a title of my favourite Amazon series. This is us. This is us. The cornerstone. The living stones built together into a magnificent temple that has a wonderful purpose. This is the story of Jesus and the church. This is who we are. This is what we're meant to be. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I used to live in Lincoln. Has anyone been to Lincoln before? Ah, lovely place. Lincoln has a cathedral, and it is the most amazing building. Built in the, like, I think 1062, they started it. I mean, these cathedrals in our country are mind-blowing when you start looking into them. It took 300 years to build it. But we used to live just below the cathedral. But I remember as a kid, when we were coming back from holiday or something, 20 miles away, you could see the cathedral because it's set right up on the hill. And particularly at night time, the floodlights light it up. And you can see it literally for miles and miles around. Now think about a cathedral. It lights up the whole area, draws people to itself. And that's only because thousands and thousands of stones over 300 years were carefully built together. Now, this is the picture that Peter is giving to us here. He's saying, friends, alone, you're a stone in the dust. Together, you can be a cathedral on a hill. Okay, alone, you're a stone. Together, you can be a cathedral on a hill. You see, God's calling to us as his people is something he calls us to do together. Last week, when he said, love each other deeply from the heart, you can't do that as an individual. You can only do that in community. And you know the thing that's going to draw people in, show people the goodness of Jesus, it's when the stones are built together into a cathedral on the hill, shining with light, and people can see us operating in community, living stones built together for him. Friends, a question for us. Are you a stone all alone, or are you part of the cathedral on the hill? I mean, it's an amazing picture, isn't it? Don't we want to be part of the cathedral? Then we want to be part of this spiritual building, working together for Jesus' glory. I wonder what Jesus would say, in light of the passage, I wonder what he'd say to some of these folk we met at the beginning. You know, I think he'd say, look, Betsy, can you see how glorious my plan for you and church is? I'm your cornerstone. I died for you. I love you. I'm building you together with other living stones. You need them, Betsy. They need you. Betsy, you know, I don't think you realise just what a big deal this is. Okay, it's so much bigger than the parties, the clubs, the work commitments, the weekends away that just keep coming first in your life. So much bigger than those things. Don't be a stone. Commit to the cathedral. I think that's what it'd say to Betsy. What about Simone? I think it'd say, look, Simone, I love you. And in love, I need to say to you, it's not all about you and your spiritual experiences. It's not all about you and your relationship with me. I've called you to be one stone among many, to be fully sacrificially committed to a church family so that together you can be so much more than you are by yourself. Simone, if you think of yourself as spiritual, but are neglecting my spiritual temple, there is nothing spiritual about that. You have a key role in this church family, Simone. Take your place. What about David? I don't know, maybe Jesus would say, look, David, your commitment is commendable, your regularity is a blessing, but David, please, never forget why you're here. Keep remembering that I'm your cornerstone. Without me, none of your spiritual sacrifices mean anything. And remember to keep loving and serving the living stones around you week by week. Church is not your religious duty, it's your family, David. You're one stone among many. What about William? I don't know what he'd say to William. Maybe, I know your pain. I can bring healing and peace. Okay, what you've experienced at church should never have been. One day, all of that evil will be washed away. And yet, William, you need to know that you are part of my spiritual house. You are a valuable stone. And you still need the other stone. So don't give up on church altogether. Seek help, seek prayer. Take one little step at a time so that you can take your place again in the spiritual house that I'm building. And in time, your story of pain can be a blessing to others as well. Now, I don't know, we kind of made those up really. But I think Jesus would say something like that in the light of what we've seen his vision for churches here. And as we close, I wonder what would he say to us at Trinity at 4? I think he'd say, never forget who you are. You're a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. Okay, you are God's special possession in this town so that you can declare the praises of him who brought you out of darkness into his light. Don't forget who you are, because it's so easy to do that. You are living stones that I am building on the cornerstone into a glorious temple. Don't forget it. And I think he would say, would you please have a bigger vision for your church? Because so often our vision is too small, isn't it? Just to come and have a nice time, get to know people, have a nice chat. These are all good things, but I think Jesus would say, please don't have a vision that's too small. Would your vision match my vision? Because it's glorious. Well, why don't we close this with a moment of reflection? The story of me and church, the story of Jesus and church, and maybe just in a moment of quiet, you can just pray to the Lord. I wonder, what is the story of you and church right now? And how might this story of Jesus and church shape your story going forward this week and beyond that? A few moments in quiet and then I'll close this in prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the privilege of being called to belong to your people, to be a living stone built on the cornerstone. Lord, help us never to drift away from Jesus, our anchor, our great cornerstone. And Lord, help us to take our place in the spiritual house that you're building, a faithful living stone supported by and built up alongside other living stones. Thank you that we all have a part to play in that. And Lord, we pray that our church family might be that cathedral on a hill, shining out. Protect us from being a stone by ourselves, disconnected. And we pray that all the glory might go to Jesus. And we ask you for his glory. Amen. Well, we're going to continue in a time of prayer. Christian is going to come.